Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night we'll be drinking Manischewitz, going out to Terragoyam. Stop and shake it. Ruined shifters, as long as we're home by Saturday morning.
And welcome to the End Fuzz Show. I should have let that kicked in. My bad. My name is Ed Molina, my partner in crime, Fuzzy Biscuits. I didn't realize you were a NoFX fan.
Yeah, of course, man.
By the way, that's
Jewish
NoFX
punk rock, man. First night of Hanukkah.
Bonnie, yes, I was about to say happy Hanukkah. Bonnie's a fan of NoFX. She's huge into that pop punk scene, which is, it's kind of weird how, like, you know, for example, in hip hop, if you're pop, you're kind of considered a sellout. But like with punk, like there's the hardcore scene, and then like the hardcore scene, it's like its little brother, the pop punk scene, and NoFX is kind of in that Venn diagram of hardcore and pop punk, you know, and pop punk.
Yeah.
I mean, Good Charlotte, Fall Out Boy, Paramore, those type of bands where your heart.
Nah.
You know,
I like the old pop punk. I don't mess with any of those guys.
you're into like NoFX and
NoFX,
face?
Rancid, Old Green Day, Bad Religion.
Okay, so you're into the old head pop punk, to the Green Days and
the
West Coast stuff, really. I like early Offspring. I tell you exactly where I punched out on Offspring. Pretty Fly for a White Guy. I used to love like the early stuff by Offspring, and then, yo, it just made
early
me
Green
want
Day
to
is great.
I like Dookie though, as commercial as it is. It's kind of like the Black Album. I know people criticize the Black Album.
The ones before Dookie, those are the good ones.
I love 1039. I like Kerplunk. I did like Kerplunk too. I'm not gonna shit on the older stuff. I'm not gonna shit on the newer stuff. Obviously, they went Broadway, you know, with American Idiot. So you know, bands grow. But I you know what? It's there's certain albums. I understand why metalheads hate the Black Album. I understand why punk heads hate Dookie. But those are solid albums, and okay, yeah, they crossed over and it changed the scene and it changed the fan base. But listen, talent is talent. You know, I hate using Lars' line. Yeah, we sold out, but we sold out Madison Square Garden, we sold out the Egg Dome, we sold out, you know, Wembley Stadium. I don't see nothing wrong with Band Evolution. You as a fan don't have to go with that Band Evolution. I think, you know, I hip-hop heads are a little bit different in how they view music and their musical taste. But I've always found that fascinating about punk, where it's like they don't shit on their pop brethren. And I think it's kind of cool, actually. Anyway, happy Hanukkah. I digress. You know I love talking music. I apologize. I was surprised by your pick. And then I heard the opening line. I was like, oh, okay. Happy Hanukkah, brother. What did you get for Hanukkah? Did you get anything yet?
No, because I only get presents from myself, so I bought a couple pair of shoes, and they I don't know how long they'll get here. You can never tell in the COVID days.
It's true. I remind
and
me,
I bought
I gotta
myself
get
some
presents
hats too. So that
I gotta
that.
Get. I gotta get friend of the show Bonnie some gifts that I haven't ordered yet. I'm used to shopping last minute. That maybe this was a mistake, waiting to the last minute.
Amazon is still quick.
What's that?
Amazon is still quick.
Yes, true. I should package her a dreidel. That was me. I'm sorry. By the way, our listenership is back up in Sweden. Shout out to our friends in Sweden.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say thank you, Swedish. I'll learn by the next podcast. What is it?
You want to know what?
I don't know how to say thank you in Swedish.
I do.
How do you say it?
Tack, tack.
How, what?
Tack, tack. But you could just say tack, 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 but they all say tack, tack.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, I got you. I got it. Okay, cool.
And duck is Anska.
What is it?
Anska, in case you need to say duck.
Anska,
yep.
Is
bike
duck.
Is Sikla.
Sikla?
I picked up a little from Kloki when I was over there.
I could tell. I could
Svensk
tell.
Svensk means Swedish. Zlatan
okay.
means God.
That's funny. It's the time. Yo, he's hey, they're talking about bringing him back to the Swedish national team. So that tells you how much he's killing it in Serie A. He was kind of bored with MLS after a while. I mean, he liked Los Angeles and all. He liked living in Los Angeles, but I think he got bored with the quality of soccer. And that's no disrespect to MLS, but MLS is not Italy. I'm sorry, it's not. You know. But anyway, yeah. Let's get into wrestling, otherwise we turn this into a soccer podcast. War Games. You want to start with that first, and then we'll talk Impact?
Yeah.
Impact/AEW. Well, I'll let you start off. I'll let you kick it off. I've always been a huge fan of War Games as a concept. I've liked the tweaks that WWE/NXT has done for War Games. But I think we were kind of in the same page about it, that it I don't want to say it's getting stale, but anyway, I'll let you go. I'll let you kick it off. Jesus, this is what happens when I don't drink fucking cider. I get all tongue-tied. You know, I'm like one of those alcoholics. I need,
you're going
I
through withdrawals.
Hey,
you're
yeah.
shaking. You're getting cold.
Cider withdrawals.
I mean, I don't think it's getting boring. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great pay-per-view. What I think it is that we're spoiled from last year's War Games.
Yes.
I mean, last year's War Games is a tough act to follow. So I'm not going to hold it against this War Games that it wasn't as good. I'm not going to lie. When I was watching, though, that was constantly in the back of my head. I definitely had, like, I would have to say my expectations were too high, maybe. But,
okay.
I thought the women's match was solid. I liked the ending. I thought that Io was going to have a big spot. I thought it was creative. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. The men's, I think, was a little bit better. I know you don't like it, but I think my man Pat McAfee has put another notch on the head post. Like, he's steadily moving up. And you know who impressed me the most, and it was like at the end of the match with like a couple finishers, is fucking Kyle O'Reilly. Like that, like,
I'll
suplex to go to sleep.
I'll get to that in a second.
But like
I'll
suplex to go to sleep, I was like, what?
Yes.
I was like, what? I mean, I'm not, you know, I always knew Kyle O'Reilly could go, but I was like, Lord, I was like, he just put the nail in the coffin at the end. I was impressed by Kyle O'Reilly, but I also think Pat McAfee. I don't know. I mean, I thought both of those were the best matches of the night. I don't think any of the singles matches, and I guess you wouldn't expect them to, but I don't think any of the singles matches, were as good as the two, as either of the War Games matches. Did you think any of the singles matches were as good?
I didn't, though. I did enjoy Gargano versus Priest and Ruff. I agree that both War Game matches were the better matches of the night. Although, where I disagree with you is I think I enjoyed the women's War Games better than the men's. So I am coming around to Pat McAfee, and I'll tell you exactly where I kind of started coming around was the promo that he threw in the Go Home show that nobody saw because the winner is coming. I'm sorry, but it's just a fact. but I got to say that I forgot that EO does those crazy spots, because I was more focused on Candice LeRae, who broke her hand, by the way, in that spot that she did where she blocked Shotzi Blackheart's senton with the chair. And I was like, ooh, that's a rough spot. It looked like both Shotzi and Candice were hurt on that one. What else? I you know, obviously the Io Shirai spot off the cage with the garbage can. Actually, there was another spot that she took. I think it was Dakota Kai who kind of did the foot stomp off the top rope. And it looked for a while like Io Shirai was actually stuck in the garbage can. Like they couldn't get her out. Because she obviously, you know, when you foot stomp, she squashes the garbage can. Like it flattens it. And it looked for a second there. Like you can see her feet kind of like, oh, my God, get me out of here. You know, but that was kind of, that was a cool spot. I like the Raquel, what is it, Raquel Gonzalez? You could tell that.
Yeah, I thought this, you know, when she power slammed
and
her
I'm starting,
from,
go ahead.
I thought that was the finisher that Raquel put on her. I thought that was a pretty big bump.
Yeah, I see what they're trying to do with her. They're trying to make a Kevin Nash. She's a former, I was just reading up on her, did not realize that she was Ricky Gonzalez's daughter. A former wrestler. I didn't realize she was a basketball player. And that just kind of sparked like, oh, I see why they're booking her the way they're booking her. They're booking her as Kevin Nash, the Dakota Kai's Shawn Michaels. And as we all know, Shawn Michaels is one of the bookers backstage. And I have nothing wrong with that. I'm slowly coming around on Raquel Gonzalez as I see improvement. I thought she was big for nothing at first. That was my first impression of her. As I watch War Games, I'm like, okay, she's getting better. That was a nice little, you know, that was a nice little finish that she had with Io Shirai. It was Io Shirai. She pinned Io. I liked the yesterday's show where she had a great promo. I mean, it wasn't. We're not talking Dusty Rhodes or CM Punk here, but it was a good promo that she threw for someone that is getting better and better. It wasn't speaking and now has to speak because Dakota Kai is hurt also in War Games. And that's one of the things about War Games is taxing. Now you have Dakota Kai and Candice LeRae pretty much out for a little while. I know with LeRae, it's a broken hand. I don't know what Dakota Kai's injury was, but I know she's out. Bobby Fish is hurt. He tore his tricep. I believe it was that he tore. I don't know if you saw at the end when he was. I saw him holding his arm, but I wasn't sure what was wrong with it. Turns out he tore his tricep. Which how do you, man? If I even tore like a little bit of it, like I'd be crying. The tricep, I'd be crying. My man finished a War Games match like that. But I thought the women's War Game was better. I thought the sleeper match was Gargano versus Damian Priest and Leon Ruff. I actually enjoyed that match a lot. I like what they're doing with Gargano. I like the swerve. And you know I'm not an Ace Austin. Is that his?
Austin Theory.
Austin Theory, sorry. Jesus. Is that I'm not an Austin Theory fan, but I like how they're booking him. Again, the post show where they have Johnny Gargano kind of doing this comedy bit with Theory, I thought was hilarious. Because my problem with Theory is, okay, you're good in the ring, but I'm not always a mic guy, but I'm looking, I guess, for reasons to hate on him. But yeah, I'm not,
you know,
a big
the kid's
Austin
like
Theory
21,
fan, but I like the way
he can develop
right
mic
now.
Skills.
Yeah, you can develop that. And listen, who better to learn than Johnny Gargano? Look, Johnny Gargano at one point was the best bout machine. I know people say that about Kenny Omega, but I look, there was a period where friend of the show Bonnie would argue that Gargano was throwing better matches than Kenny Omega. That's to be debated. But I think at one point he was one of the best bout machines in the business. So who better to learn from? Like that's actually
I don't disagree.
Guy. That's actually the perfect guy to teach him up. You know what I mean? And I'm not a Theory fan. But I enjoyed the way that I've enjoyed how that ended. I enjoyed Leon Ruff's run. I enjoyed the right guys holding the belt. I'm just curious if they're going to continue with the jinx, the Johnny Gargano jinx. That was kind of the Sasha Banks jinx. She can't defend. First title defenses are always a problem for some people, I guess. You know, shoot, we've seen that with Andy Reeves in boxing recently. So, but I enjoyed the show. I just thought the women had a better showing. I'm not sure yet how I feel about Ciampa Thatcher. I know I'm supposed to be the audience for it. I still don't know where I stand on it. That was weirdly my bathroom match. Like, I went to the bathroom during that match. Grab my snacks and whatnot. I was a little surprised at that because normally it's the upper guy.
I don't think that's one that I don't think lived up to expectations. I didn't expect a lot. And I'm not saying it was bad, but I don't know. That's definitely, if I did have to go to the bathroom, I would choose that match.
Yeah. That was the one match. I don't know what they're doing yet with that. I'm intrigued, but I at the same time, I don't know. I feel like they don't know what they're doing with Ciampa now that he's back. Like, we're so used to seeing him in the title scene. I think this is good for Thatcher and putting him over, depending what they do with this. But I'm still kind of on the fence of what they're doing with Thatcher and Ciampa. As we saw, they're continuing this, as we saw in this week's episode. Dexter Lumis was Cameron Grimes was entertaining for what it was. You know, I'm glad.
Yeah,
okay.
It was okay.
Good way to put this rivalry to bed. You know, Cameron Grimes is growing on me. I'm not going to lie.
Cameron Grimes is good.
And McAfee, I cannot not give him his due. I mean, he took a lot of serious bumps. You know, I feel like maybe calling him the punter derisively might not be. I think I'll fall back on that. You know, I was a little mean-hearted on my part. You know, I admit.
But
the
he can sell a move too.
Yeah. Yeah, he can. He definitely can. I've been very impressed with his work of late, and if you keep it to small doses, because again, this is a situation where he kind of had to step in for another injured talent, and they made it work. I was actually impressed with Orkin and Birch. I'm usually not a big fan of theirs. I think they're okay, but I actually only Orkin can go, man. And
yeah, they can wrestle, but they have like no personality.
Yeah, like even Imperium has a personality. It might not be your favorite personality, but even Imperium has a personality. And there's something about Birch and Lorcan where I'm like, they can go. Don't get me wrong. I'm not turning off their match. But on this occasion, I was like, yo, these guys, yo, they were built for War Games. You know what I mean? I dig it. I like teasing of the return of Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, however you want to call him. My girl's back, Scarlett. Oh, swoon Scarlett. I love Scarlett. Sorry. Swoon Scarlett. Yeah.
Did you watch NXT this week?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
I did. I like what
they're doing. Not much of a tease.
No. Not much of a tease. And I like what they're doing. They're putting him right away in the title picture with Finn Balor, which I like Balor as champion. I'm glad they built up Balor again. That's no disrespect to Balor Club. I thought that was kind of a cool, positive thing. And walking around New Orleans, seeing LGBTQ wrestling fans walking around with Balor Club, you know, shirts, the rainbow ones that he put out. I mean, I thought it was cool to see Balor be that good guy, but I prefer the Prince. I prefer Prince Devitt. I prefer the original, well, not the original, but I prefer the Bullet Club Ayatollah of rock and roller that he was. And that's what we get with the Prince in NXT, and I'm happy to see that version of him against Killer Kross, because those are going to be sick matches, man. Those are going to be really sick matches. I'm excited about Kross versus Finn Balor. Yeah, so let's get into we got time. Let's get into Impact first. And I'm stealing this from Twitter. However you feel about Kenny Omega, and I understand he's polarizing. If you grew up on The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kenny Omega is not going to be your cup of tea. You're not going to unless you've watched him in Japan, you're not going to understand why people call him the best bout machine. That said, anyone who says that is that Kenny Omega is not a draw is a fucking liar, because the ratings for Access TV, people found Access TV to watch Kenny Omega and Don Callis give their promo. And they teased it to the very end of the show like you're supposed to, like a good showman is supposed to. You milked it to the end of the show. You give people a sample of what Impact Wrestling is about if you've never watched it. I love how the commentary was cognizant of a potential new audience, explaining a lot of these different rivalries. And, hey, you can't say the guy's not a draw when the 18 to 49-year-old demographic that everyone seeks in television, the ratings, it's not just how many eyeballs. Everybody wants that 18 to 49-year-old demographic. Impact's ratings went up in that demographic by 60%. I don't want to hear that Kenny Omega's not a draw, because some of y'all people saying he's not a draw fucking tuned in to watch it. Now, I'll get into Kenny in a second, where the disconnect lies between rock fans and the best bout machine in a second. But what did you think of the synergy that they attempted to do Tuesday night on Impact?
I loved it. I thought, like, you know, I feel like we're kind of at the edge of our seats. Like, we got an explanation, you know, but like when he was like, you know, there's belts here, you know, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah. Is he going to or is he not going to? I love the tying in of the Sheik and Callis. And because I didn't know that. So, like, how, like, they're playing it out like this is something that's just come to fruition, but it's, you know, been going on for 30 years or however long, you know what I mean? I thought it was played really well. I thought it was a really good, the way the interview was done, I thought it was great. I think that, you know, this, not that it's like a new incarnation, but like this incarnation of Kenny Omega is money. Like, Kenny just, I don't know, like, I've never thought that Kenny didn't sell. Kenny is golden. Like, that interview was, like, I can't, like, him and Don Callis are just, like, I don't know, it just works for me. I don't know how to put it into words, but, like, I thought Kenny Omega has swerved beautifully with this. The backstory is great. There's history. You know, there's seems to be a working relationship, at least somewhat, between Impact and AEW, but we don't yet know fully what it is. You know, I'm all about it. I'm loving it.
I like the tease that they gave at the end also with Rich Swann when they wouldn't let him out in the parking lot when he wanted to have a word with Kenny Omega. I loved that tease because, you know, it's funny. Friend of the show, Bonnie and I noted, yo, we've been watching Impact now pretty religiously. We'd say about every other week or every week. Since July, and we didn't realize that because Rich Swann won the World Heavyweight title. And as we get closer to the fuzzies, if before the end of the year, and we gotta determine when we're gonna the last matches. I guess maybe the as we get closer to the 25th. But if we get Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann before that time, I may have to consider Rich Swann for my fuzzy wrestler of the year. Rich Swann's been throwing some quality work of late, and I understand he had those he got caught up in that whole Me Too sweep, and there were issues with potentially with domestic violence issues that apparently been resolved. Apparently, I don't want to say that she was lying because I don't want to victim shame, but at the same time, it looks like it went through the course of the judicial system, and everything seems to be okay. Rich Swann has put on a hell of a year this year. Since he's left WWE, yo, we get Omega, and this is where I'm going with this. If you've never watched Kenny Omega in New Japan, and your first introduction to Kenny Omega was last week's match against Mox, and that promo, the two promos that he threw between Tuesday and Wednesday, listen, if you're expecting The Rock, if you're expecting Hulk Hogan or the Ultimate Warrior, this is not for you, fam. Kenny Omega's work is about the ring work. Now, that doesn't mean he can't throw a promo. That's another criticism about him. He doesn't throw a promo, I think, in the American sense. I think, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know,
and I like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I forgot to add that I like that he's brought back goodbye, good night, bang.
Bang.
and the way that Callis is like, do the thing. Like, I love it.
Do
I don't know.
Thing.
Like, who says he can't cut a promo? I mean, and Kenny Omega cut some great promos in ring in New Japan.
I agree. He cut some great, because the way it works in New Japan is, you know, the main event or whoever wins the main event, they get to cut a promo to the crowd. And I think the great part about the Kenny shtick in New Japan was that he speaks absolutely perfect, fluent Japanese, and refused to throw a promo in Japanese. He would throw it in English on purpose to spite the crowd. That's great heel work. And I think that's where Kenny works great, is as a heel. Kenny the Sad Sack wasn't doing it for me. And I think we talked about it in the podcast at one point. I don't want to see Kenny the Sad Sack. I want to see Kenny the Cleaner. I want to see the guy that was the leader of the Bullet Club. I want to see the guy that was putting it on Ibushi. Phrasing, but you know what I mean. Like... You know what I mean? I like the guy that turned his back on AJ Styles. And look, I tell you what I like that he brought back. He brought back the cleaners. The Kenny, the cleaners, the chick sweeping. I love that shit.
Kenny the
cleaner. And I understand that, you know, he appeals to I want to say, video game geeks. I understand older heads may not get it. But you just got to sit back and enjoy the ride that is Kenny Omega. He is not, if you're expecting The Rock, stop. Just stop. You know, if you're expecting the Attitude Era, stop. This is not it. This is not for you. And that's okay. There's plenty of other wrestling out there for you to watch. But this is a great era of wrestling, and as we're seeing this. And I agree with you. I think... If you don't think he's a draw, look at the numbers. If you don't think he can throw a promo, look at his promo work. We know he could throw a match. Now, this is where I do agree with the Kenny Omega critics. I think Kenny Omega, and this is me being Okada stan, I think Kenny Omega gets a little too much credit for those 7 stars in that 7-star match. Can we please, to me, the best damn wrestler on the planet still Kazuchika Okada. Okay, I understand it's that Kenny's the one that speaks English perfectly, but you know, a lot of that, you're only as good as your dance partner, and you don't get a 7-star match unless you get someone of the quality of Okada, of Rainmaker Okada. That's my one pet peeve about, you know, the criticism of Kenny Omega or the praise of Kenny Omega. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think the stands are going to stand. You know what I mean? But, you know, I, you know, that was a duel. That was a ballet. And if you want to see the best of Omega, I'd suggest you check out any of the 4 matches against Okada. I suggest you make time, because these are 30 to 40 minute classics. The last one, I believe, went almost 60, which we haven't seen since the days of Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. And that's the thing, like, yo, name me someone in WWE main eventing that's going to give you 40 to 60 minutes. I dare you to find me somebody.
There's nobody I can really think of.
AJ, maybe? Maybe? Nakamura's a little older, maybe? But he's not main eventing, so...
I don't know, man. There may not be anybody. Seth?
I definitely, what? Seth? That's about
Seth
it.
Seth would maybe be the most likely.
Seth? Finn Balor. But again, I don't know if you want to consider him like the main roster. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on with that, so.
Well, I mean, if you're talking WWE and NXT, that's different. Like, I thought you were just talking WWE.
No, WWE-wise, no. You're right. You're right about that. WWE main roster, I don't know one person that's going to give you 40 minutes. 40 quality minutes.
Yeah, Seth
minutes.
Would be the only one that I think could possibly do it.
Yeah. I want to say Drew McIntyre, but I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to see him wrestle for 40 minutes.
No. I want to say Roman Reigns, but I don't know either.
No, I don't want to see Roman Reigns wrestle for 40 minutes either.
With Roman Reigns, though, I just don't think his – I've learned a lot about the type of cancer that he has, and cardio is one of – it fucks with your cardio. So, I mean, if you can get a solid 30 out of – if you can get a solid 30 out of Roman, you've done good, which, you know – again, but I don't know anyone that's going to give you 30. Keith Lee. Oh, Keith Lee. I'll give you Keith Lee. Keith Lee will give you a good 30. 30 to 40. That's your match right there. Keith Lee versus Seth Rollins. Iron Man. 40 minutes. I think that's about it.
What about Owens? You think maybe Owens?
Maybe. He'll get you 30. He won't get you 40. He'll get you 30, though. Actually, him and Keith Lee, 30-minute match, 30-minute Ironman, that can work. You know what I mean? Like I just
possibly.
But no, but my point is you know, Kenny's gonna throw you a 30-40-minute banger. You know what I mean? They threw him and Mox threw a good 30 to 40 minutes last week.
Yeah,
that was a quality match. That was a pay-per-view quality match. And again, I know people have a problem with Mox. I know people have a problem with Kenny. That was a quality match. They gave you a pay-per-view caliber match at a free show on television. You know what I mean? On Turner or World Thing. So.
It's 2020. You know. That's what they're doing now. I like it.
So, two things. Before we finish off, we still got a little bit of time. Let's get into Sting. Did you watch Impact this week?
Yes.
Let's talk Sting.
I'm wondering, and I think this could be good, and I don't know. A piece of me still is thinking maybe he's not going to wrestle, though. But the way that he, kind of called out Darby Allin, it was intriguing to me.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
But I mean, you know, we still don't know. Like, we still don't know. He might have talked about some people, called some people out, but we still don't know. A piece of me still thinks that he's not coming back in a wrestling capacity.
So one thing I read was that he wanted to do a cinematic match with The Undertaker, call that a career. Cap off his career, give the people what they want, which I personally didn't want it, but, you know, I guess the people wanted Sting versus The Undertaker, which we never got, and WWE said no. That's how he ended up in AEW. Will he do a match? Listen, he's 61 years old, and the last time we saw him in the ring, he took a bad buckle bomb and hurt his neck. Now, we're not talking about a guy that's, you know, Edge's age. We're not talking a guy Daniel Bryan's age. He's 61 he was 59 or whatever when he took that buckle, that bad bump against Seth. His arm went numb. I don't want to see Sting in the ring. I'm glad Sting is back. I'm still on the fence about this whole thing because, like, the same people that are bitching and moaning about The Undertaker are the same, and I'm a Sting stan, are the same people giving this props. Now, on the business side, this makes all the sense in the world to me. Wrestling-wise, do we really want to see 61-year-old Sting against Darby Allin?
Nope.
And that's no disrespect.
But him against Darby Allin would be, if I had to watch one, that would be the one that I would watch.
I would watch it if it's cinematic, especially... A lot of the stuff that Darby does, he directs himself, which I think is great. Because And that's one of the reasons I'm glad he's in AEW, not in WWE, because WWE would never let him direct his own. He's not Bray Wyatt. They don't trust him like that to film his own shit. You know what I mean? And even Bray Wyatt, I don't think they trust like that either. He can be pretty fucking subversive sometimes, low-key. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, if it's a cinematic match, I'm not the biggest fan of them. I mean, they're a thing now. They're around now because of the COVID pandemic. Fine. I'm okay with that, having a cinematic match with Sting. But otherwise, I'm still on the fence about this, and I'm not as geeked as everyone else. I'm more geeked about Kenny Omega and this Impact Union with AEW than I am about Sting. Now, I will say this. You know what I did enjoy about this Wednesday's promo that he did? The genuine feels he had for Scavone, as I'm starting to call him, for Tony Schiavone. Like, genuine feel. That was kind of heartwarming. You know, he's like, you know, has like, do it again. Do that thing. It's there. You know, whatever, the way he does it, Tony Schiavone. And I never realized how much a part of my childhood Schiavone was till, like, you know, kind of Sting pointed that out. Because we always think Jim Ross. We always think Bobby the Brain. We think Gorilla Monsoon. I don't feel like we give Schiavone that love. I don't feel we give him that love. And yo, I remember the first time I remember Tony Schiavone was him calling the Samoan SWAT team versus the Steiners. I remember him calling that on a TV show, and I was like, oh my god, you know, like I don't think Schiavone get, and it is iconic when he says it's Sting. You know what I mean? Like he just has this passion about him. And he has great chemistry. Yo, the chemistry that he has with Dr. Britt Baker, I think is fabulous. I think they make magic together. I'm serious about that. You know? But I did like, I like the sentimentality. I guess I'm getting old, you know what I mean? I like the sentimentality that we saw on Wednesday, you know? Kind of
especially when him and Arn Anderson faced off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of brought chills. I was like, oh.
No, people forget the whole all four horsemen made Sting's life miserable. One of my favorite rivalries growing up too. And then seeing him, to me, it's like seeing him in the ring with Cody. And it's like, yo, team with his dad against the Horsemen. Like, wasn't there one War Games where it was Sting and Dusty on the same team? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I do admit I love the sentimentality. And I think that's a lot what the passion for The Undertaker is. You know, I'm not going to lie, we've been kind of low-key shitting on him a little bit, you know, finally he's retiring. But I think a lot of it has to do with the sentimentality of, you know, growing up Undertaker fans. And I think Sting has that effect. I think more so than the Ultimate Warrior. Look, they were the Blade Runners together. Obviously, Sting had the better career. I don't care what anybody says. It's not even close. Sting had the better career. He had the better career. Better ring work, better promos, better everything. Just better. Better human being from what I understand. Just better, 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 better. And so I think that's what it is about Sting where I'm trying not to crap on it. I really am not. Because, again, like I don't – you know, for a company that's always talking about doing things like newer, better, getting new faces out there, it's like, okay, you're trotting out 61-year-old Sting. Like, you know, again – I realize he has a reputation for not working safe. I think Seth is a pretty safe worker. I don't, like, even Sting said that wasn't Seth's fault. It just happens. You know what I mean? The buckle bomb. So, but I like the sentimentality aspect of it. I don't know what they're doing with Sting. Maybe, look, what I'm hoping for is he mentors. He's kind of a manager for Darby out. Does that, you know what I mean? That's where I'm hoping this goes. I don't want to see Sting in a ring. I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't. I you know, no more bumps for you, guy. Like, but they say it's a full, excuse me, they say it's a full schedule or whatever, you know. It's a full deal. And we'll see, man. Any thoughts on AEW or NXT this week? We got about 4 minutes left.
I'm trying to remember NXT and what. NXT was okay. I'm trying to remember. I guess that speaks to it being okay. I don't remember much about NXT this week. AEW, I thought, was another good show. I thought that
they
the Inner Circle again. Promo was good. I thought that the Orange Cassidy MJF, the main event, I thought that was a good match. I thought the Butcher and Blade, Eddie Kingston, was it? Butcher and Blade, Eddie Kingston, and Lucha Brothers with Lance Archer. Yeah, I thought that was a good match. I thought
that looked like
I thought this
that
week,
like
and, the last 2 weeks, I'd say AEW won.
Penta looked hurt after that match, like legit hurt.
Who? Oh, Penta. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, he looked legit hurt. I thought that it was a more solid show. I did like the return of Karrion Kross that we saw on NXT. I did like hurting up. Now they're obviously setting him up for Finn. Yeah, Damian Priest. So obviously they're setting up Balor versus Killer Kross. But if at any point Karrion Kross chokes out Damian Priest, I ain't too mad about that.
Not at all.
One last thing before we head out. I do want to say rest in power to Tiny Lister, Tom Lister.
Debo.
Some of you know. Debo, Zeus is dead. You know, people forget that WWE built the whole program around that movie, No Holds Barred. They built 3 pay-per-views around No Holds Barred and Zeus. And, you know, people talk about, oh, these limited wrestlers getting a break, you know, and I can't be too mad at Pat McAfee getting a shot when Tim Lister headlined SummerSlam. And he has, like, he has skill set. We used to make fun of John Cena's, what, five moves of doom, you know.
Yeah. Well, Zeus, though, Zeus also had the worst ring apparel. It was horrible. Yeah. But I mean, no, love the dude. I don't want to act like rest in peace. You know, great actor. You know, I know people are gonna be like, he wasn't a great actor, but like for what he did it well.
Yo, not only did he do it well, how many people get to be directed in big feature flicks by Christopher Nolan? You know what I mean? Like heavy hitter directors hired him to do what he does and what he did good. So yes, he is a good actor.
Yeah.
You know, dude was
rest in peace.
Oh, what's that movie with Chris Tucker and Bruce Willis? Fifth Element?
Yeah, I know. The futuristic movie. Fifth Element,
He was in that. Jesus, he's in so many movies. Like, he's made appearances. I'm looking at this shit right here. He was in Little Nicky. He was in Next Friday. He was in Zootopia. Like, he was in Zootopia!
Oh, yeah, Zootopia, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And apparently, like a true gentle giant type of dude. Seems like, you know, real cool, humble dude.
I forgot he was in Jackie Brown. I forgot that he was in Players Club. I forgot that he was in Things.
Oh, yeah, he was in Players Club. He was Luke's bodyguard.
Yes. You know, I forgot that he was in Little...
No, that was the dude from Green Mile was Luke's bodyguard.
Bro. But, yeah, he was in Players Club. He was one of the bouncers, I believe. He was in Austin Powers, Gold Member. Look, the guy, again, yes, great actor. Maybe not in the Robert De Niro way or in the Tony, you know, Tony Montana or in the Al Pacino way. But, like, for what he did, like, yo, he was a go-to guy for A-list directors. And, you know, he helped put Hulkamania on the map. It was the next logical step to go Hollywood after WrestleMania 3, and he will forever be a part of wrestling. All right, man. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Late.
Fuck. I didn't time that right. Yeah. I just had a sip. I needed a sip because I was getting caught in that. Oh, she's already going to work. It's over. It's over. Oh. It still hasn't started. My bad. I looked up. They're just coming to the ring right now. Just as I was saying, rest in peace, the last part.
That's okay. She said rest in peace.
Yeah. All right.